No relationships to disclose. Whoops. I go backwards. What's that? Arrow. Okay. Right. So thank you. So I'm also going to be talking about results from the National Alcohol Survey, and my presentation, along with the next presentation from Dr. Sherpatel, are going to be focusing on racial ethnic disparities in the risk of injuries related to alcohol. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Sherpatel and Yu Yi, from the Alcohol Research Group, and our funding under our NIAAA National Alcohol Research Center. This paper, since it was put in for this conference a long time ago, has been published in Alcohol and Alcoholism, so you can find all the details there as well. So looking at the literature on risk of injury related to alcohol in the U.S., there's been some suggestion that there's a J-shaped curve, in that the lightest drinkers actually have a lower risk of injury than non-drinkers, and that risks increase somewhat rapidly, particularly with heavy drinking days. Findings for men suggest a leveling at higher frequencies of heavy drinking, but with continued risk for women increasing in that way. However, an international review suggested that there might be a dose-response relationship, so there's some conflict here that we'll try to somewhat address in this study. And I think it should be noted that there are lots of different kinds of data sources that are utilized, and different methodologies as well, in calculating the risks of injury related to alcohol, as well as different kinds of injuries that might be addressed and so forth. So disparate findings might not be too surprising in that context. The literature on racial ethnic differences in risks of injury related to alcohol is not large, really. There are some findings from, in thinking about the general literature on disparities in risks related to alcohol for alcohol problems in general, and focusing on white, black, Hispanic differences, which is going to be the focus here. These are the groups that are oversampled and relatively prevalent in our national alcohol surveys. Obviously, other groups would be of interest as well, but as you could see from Tom's presentation, we have some challenges in having enough numbers for this kind of analysis, at least. So the general literature would suggest that there are higher risks at a given level of drinking or heavy drinking for both black men, women, and for Hispanic men relative to white. So you might expect something like that to occur for injuries as well. In some past work that was led by Cheryl, findings did suggest that black and Hispanic respondents were more likely to report drinking prior to injury. So suggesting there might be some disparities in that relationship. This study is different than previous studies that have been conducted in this area and related to some other research we're doing at ARG on risks of health problems related to alcohol. So we're utilizing a retrospective cohort design where we don't have prospective information on drinking and health conditions and risk of injury occurring over time, but we're using a similar kind of methodology, building this time data for individuals based on retrospective reports. So obviously there are limitations, which I'll discuss later, but it does have the advantage of being able to contemporaneously link the health occurrence, such as an injury report, with the drinking that was going on at that time in the person's life. So here we're using people's report of an injury that occurred at a specific age and a series of questions that we have on heavy drinking occurring in different decades of life. And this life course perspective is a little different, too, from event-focused studies or studies of occurrence of drinking and injury in the past year, in that we're assessing the individual sort of general pattern of heavy drinking at that time and whether or not they had an injury in a specific year of life relative to other people, who other people's drinking patterns who didn't have that injury. And this sort of view allows for risks that might be associated with less proximate influences, such as hangovers or work-related injuries that might occur the next day, other long-term health problems that might be affected by alcohol and in turn affect injuries. So it's sort of a broader perspective on alcohol and injury risk. So based on the literature, we hypothesized that a frequency of 5-plus days would be positively related to the risk of serious injury. That's probably not too controversial. Risk of injury will continue to rise with more heavy drinking occasions, and that Black and Hispanic drinkers would have a greater risk at a particular level, and that's maybe the hypothesis with the least clear backing to it. We're going to be utilizing data from the 2010 National Alcohol Survey. As you know, we've been conducting the National Alcohol Survey for a long time, but we haven't always asked these specific questions that are needed to do the kind of analysis that we're doing here. So the 2010 survey was the first time that we're able to do this type of analysis. And you've gotten some of these details already, but it's a RDD national survey, 18 and older, of the U.S. with Hispanic and African-American oversamples. cooperation rate in 2010 was about 50%. It was a dual-frame design, but more detail was available in the landline sample, so that's all we were able to use here. And we had some exclusions resulting in an analytic sample of about 6,500 individuals. So injury was assessed by a lifetime injury question. Have you ever, and it's a little odd related to injury, but it was in a series about other health conditions. Have you ever been told by your doctor or other health professional that you had injuries from a serious accident? So we're trying to get at this idea that somebody at some time in their life had to see a doctor or go to the emergency room because of injuries that they had from an accident. And then for those that say they did have that, at what age were you first told? So somebody had an injury, they say they had it at age 25. So we're not getting any additional injuries that they might have had, and that's sort of related to the series of questions it was in. We asked identical kinds of questions about heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, cancer, and stroke, and these are similar to questions in other surveys of this type. The heavy drinking measures we're utilizing are the frequency of drinking 5 or more drinks a day during teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s. So people were asked about each decade, and they could say every day or nearly every day, at least once a week, once a month, once a year, or never. So sort of a set of potential frequencies for each decade. For those age 50 and older, we also considered their current heavy drinking as being their heavy drinking in that, say, 50 and 60 decade, and so forth. So some strong assumptions had to be made there, and then all those were combined to give an estimate of what their heavy drinking might have been during each year of life, starting at the age they first started drinking through the time of the survey. In the models, we included both time-varying and time-invariant controls. We included demographics, gender, race, ethnicity in the overall model, income, education, employment status, marital status, and a measure of risk-taking, which is certainly relevant to injuries. We also included the time-varying age at diagnosis for these other diseases, which might be somewhat relevant, though that's maybe a stretch for some of these, but that was data we had, so we included it. And we also included smoking status, which we had for each year as, you know, non-smoker, current smoker, former smoker, and so forth, which might be relevant to things other than smoking as well, such as risk-taking or other psychological factors. The models we utilized, Cox proportional hazard models with sampling weights, to estimate the hazard of injury occurrence, controlling for both the time-varying and time-invariant predictors. So the data set was constructed lined by age, so it's a Rather than, you know, I think that's the only way you could really do it here, but everybody was sort of aligned to have a risk factor and outcome at a specific age. Left censored at age 14 and right censored at the age of injury or at their interview age. And we tested proportionality of hazards using Schoenfeld residuals. We did find some violations of that assumption and stratified models accordingly in these ways for particular models. Marital status, income, education, and employment were things that we found that we did have to stratify risks on in particular models. Hopefully this is somewhat visible, but just to give sort of a overview, a little bit of the risks of injury, we do have differential risks of injury across the race ethnicity groups. Whites had a much higher incidence, actually, and Hispanics the lowest at about 12%. You can see up on the second line from the top. And there are some differences in the life course of heavy drinking frequency. In that at the nearly everyday frequency, it's kind of similar across groups, particularly in the teens, but whites have a much higher weekly and monthly heavy drinking frequency at those younger ages, but you see a shift towards Hispanics and to a lesser extent blacks during the particularly the 30s and 40s. So there are sort of differential life course patterns of heavy drinking that might be relevant to risks of injury. And here are the results. So for the total sample on the left, we see a clearly increasing risk of injury with the frequency of 5-plus drinking at any given age, with significantly increased risk for weekly and daily heavy drinking. So that's pretty much as hypothesized, over a double the risk among daily heavy drinkers, nearly double the risk among weekly heavy drinkers. And because the sample was largely white in this case, the risks for that group are similar to the overall. And again, we see increasing risks for weekly and daily heavy drinkers. So the interesting part of the study is how do the risks for the black and Hispanic groups relate to those. And you know, there were some somewhat surprising or puzzling results to some extent, I would say. In the black group, we do see elevated risks even at the yearly level, but those were not significant. And we really see the biggest impact at the daily level, where the risks are double what they are in the overall model. So not so clear results for the less frequent heavy drinking, but clearly elevated in the way we expected at that daily level. For Hispanics, we found a completely different pattern, where any heavy drinking seems to elevate the risk of injury, and both the yearly and the monthly, where you're going to have bigger numbers of heavier drinkers, we see these significantly elevated risks, almost three times the risk of injury related to heavy drinking in those groups. But surprisingly, we don't really see it in the heaviest groups. I mean, certainly it is elevated, about double the risk, but not significant, maybe partially due to low numbers there. So those are the findings. So in conclusion, our results indicate significant risk of serious injury for weekly and daily 5-plus drinkers, about double the rate of those with no 5-plus days. We don't really see a J-shaped relationship, though this is 5-plus rather than volume, so it's not so clear that we're really testing that hypothesis here. Findings of differential risk profiles across the race ethnicity groups are generally as hypothesized, with some unclear regions, as we do see that doubling of risk roughly among the lower levels of 5-plus among Hispanics and the most frequent group among blacks. So that was sort of the surprising aspect, where the particularly high at the low levels of heavy drinking among Hispanics. So some potential explanations: the less frequent Hispanic heavy drinkers may be engaging in very heavy events, which were not captured in the 5-plus framing. Maybe it's much more than 5-plus in a different way than other groups. possibly drinking in context with a greater risk of aggression and injury, such as bars or parties, or heavy drinking may be associated with some unmeasured risk characteristic, lifestyle, or behavior, such as work in higher injury risk populations, because these aren't necessarily injuries occurring while people are being drunk. It's just a general association. There also could be, among the more frequent Hispanic heavy drinkers, maybe higher tolerance or other risk mitigating behaviors, which could occur in any group. Potential explanations for the differential risk for the most frequent heavy drinkers in the Black population, possibly, again, a greater intensity of heavy occasions for that group, higher BAC levels. That might be consistent with what we know as a relative preference for spirits or malt liquor compared to other groups. Or with, you know, sort of heavier drinking in response to stressors such as racial discrimination. It's also possible that there's greater vulnerability for injury through intoxication in context with more injury risks, such as outdoor drinking or living in disordered neighborhoods with poorer infrastructure. So things to possibly check in future studies. We do have a number of limitations in this study, as you may have noted. Certainly there can be other unmeasured injury risk factors related to environment, things like gun ownership prevalence, crime rates, infrastructure, as was just mentioned, aren't really controlled here. Data on both injury and heavy drinking are based on self-report and retrospective recall of varying degrees depending on the age of the individual at interview, so it might have been 30 or 40 years prior, which certainly could affect memory or how one thinks about their drinking in the past. We did a study of this heavy drinking in the decades measure using a test-retest design, and there was a little bit less consistency among Black and Hispanic respondents compared to white respondents in that study, so that is a potential concern here. Frequencies of lower and higher amounts of alcohol are not known, so certainly the higher amounts in particular might be relevant to injury risk. We didn't include multiple serious injuries. It was only the first, so that's a bit of a limitation. And some of the key control variables, such as income and employment status, were from the interview. We didn't actually ask about those at every decade in the past, so they're measured with some error as well. Thank you.
All right, do we have any questions for Dr. Herr? All right, then yes.
We have one.
Are you thinking of adding
Yes, actually, in our we are hoping to follow up this research in our proposed next National Alcohol Research Center, and that analysis we have now. At the time, we hadn't quite got those variables all done for the survey, which we do now have, and we've asked similar questions and would have similar area level measures in our 2015 survey, which was recently completed. So we do plan to add those, yes.